This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. It's been 3 months since Hamas won a stunning victory in Palestinian parliamentary elections. Many Western countries, including the U.S., consider the Islamic militant organization a terrorist group and declared that, under law, they would be forced to cut off financial aid unless Hamas recognized Israel and renounced violence. Thus far, at least, Hamas refuses to go along at the price of nearly $1 billion in direct aid. The government lost another important source of revenue when Israel refused to transfer tax revenues it collects on behalf of the Palestinian Authority. As a result, the government has fallen behind in meeting its payroll. An estimated 160,000 Palestinians work for the PA, and pledges from Islamic states to fill in the gap have yet to materialize. Today on Talk of the Nation, we'll offer you an opportunity to talk with Palestinians and ask them what's different, what's better, what's worse about daily life since Hamas assumed power, what are their hopes and fears for the future. In a few weeks, we'll ask Israelis the same questions the new government of Ehud Olmert was sworn in Jerusalem earlier today. While we've done our best to find different kinds of people, we won't pretend that we found a representative sample. For one thing, all of our guests speak English, but they do live in different areas in Gaza as well as the West Bank. So if you'd like to know more about jobs or about healthcare, shopping, entertainment, or about their hopes for the future, give us a call. Our number is 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK. And our email address is talk@npr.org. And we go first to the West Bank, where Omar Al-Rifai joins us. He's a civil servant who works for the Interior Ministry in Ramallah. Thanks very much for being with us this evening. And I'm afraid we've lost our telephone line to Omar Al-Rifai, and we'll try to get him back on the line. In the meantime, of course, if you'd like to join the conversation, the number is 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK. The email address is talk@npr.org. There is, of course, considerable international pressure on Hamas to revise its stated policy, its goal that Israel be eliminated, and its decision that violence is an appropriate way to achieve that goal. Thus far, the new Hamas government has been reluctant to change its position for any number of reasons. A number of Islamic governments, including Saudi Arabia and Iran, have pledged millions of dollars in an effort to make up the gap in terms of what the Palestinian Authority has lost in terms of donations in direct aid from the United States and Western European countries. Nevertheless, that money has yet to materialize in Ramallah, and therefore the government is in a bit of a quandary, and some civil servants have yet to be paid for 3 weeks, for at least a couple of months now. Anyway, we're going to try to get back to Omar Al-Rifai a little bit later in the program. Joining us now is Mohammed Khatib. He's a humanitarian aid worker in Gaza, the father of 8 children. Thanks very much for being with us today.
Thank you very much.
You work for an outside organization, so you are still being paid, yes?
Yes.
But you have family members who work for the government, the Palestinian Authority, and haven't been paid in 2 months. This must be causing terrible problems.
Yes, really, people are living in a terrible situation nowadays. The life is very hard because of the siege and the financial crisis in the Palestinian territory nowadays.
And what is it like? Do people still go to work?
You know, people have no money to pay for transportation. But those people, for example, who are living in Rafah, and have to come daily to Gaza, they couldn't find money to pay for transportation. So there is a special arrangement between the employees themselves and their management to divide the work in the week into two parts. One for those who are living in Gaza, for example, and the other for those people who are living in Rafah and Khan Yunis.
Mm-hmm.
So employees have to work 3 days a week instead of 6 days a week.
What about...
This is an example, yeah.
Yeah, no, I know this is a great problem. But are the schools open? Are your children able to go to school?
Yes, the schools are open. And, you know, we are going to the end of the year, but the teachers are under very high pressure. They couldn't give a lot for their students, because they are thinking of how to get bread and food for their kids. So they are under very high pressure, and they are against their morality nowadays. So it is very hard for them to go ahead in teaching their students, but the students have to go to their school.
If teachers aren't being paid, if civil servants aren't being paid, what does that mean for people, for shopkeepers? Are they still able to sell their goods?
It's easy to observe that the markets and the stores are almost empty, except from those people who are saving some money from the past, or those people who are working for international organizations. Those people who still have salaries, they can go to markets and stores and buy some goods, but also they have to help their brothers and neighbors. So the salary now is divided for many families, and the operation, or I mean the marketing, it's very difficult nowadays because of the list of income and no salaries for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. What about health care? Is that available?
But, you know, I didn't get you.
What about health care? Doctors, medicine, nursing, that sort of thing?
Yes. Yes, you know, the government declared 2 or 3 days ago that the stores have almost empty from medicine and tools who are especially needed for chronic diseases and for those people who are suffering from diseases. So it's very difficult for them to go to the government hospitals, and they don't have money to go to the private pharmacies to buy medicines. So it is very difficult, and really the situation, if still for some times like this, it will be a disaster from this.
I can understand the difficulties. What do people do? I mean, there's very little work to do. People have little money, if any. What do people do all day?
You know, people have to cooperate with each other, and Islam, our religion, is encouraging people to help each other. So in Islam, people have to be what we call the zakah. And nowadays, those people who have money have to give some of their money for the poor, or for those people who have no income. So people are cooperating, and they can manage, but in the lowest level which we can.
Just to do the best you can. As you look at this situation, how long do you think this can last?
You know, we are optimistic, and we are going to see, or we are thinking that the international community could not punish the people here because they are practicing democracy and choose Hamas. You know, mm-hmm. I did not elect Hamas or choose them. But now I'm supporting them because people are now looking for Hamas as heroes. I mean, America policy and international in general policy, European community are making them heroes because they are, and the people now is looking for them as they are heroes. They are standing against American policy and European community, and also standing against Israeli escalation. I mean military escalation in Gaza Strip and West Bank. So people are supporting Hamas much more before than now, mm-hmm. nowadays. And I think if this policy goes ahead for a long time or for some time, people here will going for extreme fashions or like this, you know. And Hamas itself will not affected a lot because they have their own income themselves. But the people are here suffering because they don't have money, they don't have salaries, and this is the problem.
Another solution would be to take the line that the previous Fatah government did, which is to recognize Israel and renounce violence. Is anybody urging Hamas to change its position?
Biden, the voice is hesitated. I couldn't get you properly.
The previous government, the Fatah government, recognized Israel and said violence was not the solution. Hamas has refused to do either of those two things, which is why the funds were cut off. Has anybody started to urge Hamas to maybe change its position?
You know, the previous governments are paying high prices, and they are paid a lot for Israel, but Israel government give them almost nothing. And Hamas now got the lesson, and they said, all the time why we have to pay a high price in front of nothing. So if we should have to recognize Israel, what things will we get from them? So they are encouraging the people to stand with them because they are refusing to give what the previous government gave before. And the Israelis so far did not prove that they are going to give them something. So I think Hamas now, supported by the people, by a huge number of people here in Gaza and West Bank, are to stand against these pressures, against the Arab community pressures, the international community pressures, and also the American pressures, even if there is no money, because they got the lesson before that we gave a lot, but we get nothing. So if the things will go like this, you know, people are supporting Hamas to stand in their position.
And one final question. We just have a few seconds with you left. What about your children? What future do you see for them?
You know, I'm working for an international organization, and I have salary. But now, really, I have difficulties because two of my brothers are working in the government, and they did not get salary so far. This is the second month. And I can manage myself, but I have to pay almost half of my salary for my brothers to manage their lives. My family, I can manage, and there is no problem. But I couldn't give them a lot as before.
Mohammed Khatib, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you very much.
Mohammed Khatib spoke to us from his home in the Gaza Strip. Today, we're talking with Palestinians about what daily life is like after the cutoff of funds to Hamas-led government in Ramallah. If you'd like to join the conversation, give us a call. 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK, email talk@npr.org. I'm Neil Conan. More after the break. It's the Talk of the Nation from NPR News. This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. After Hamas took power of the Palestinian Authority in March, many Western countries cut off aid. Without that help, Palestinian government is having trouble paying its bills and its workers. Today we're talking with Palestinians, not about politics, not about the ideas of peace, but about what daily life is like for them in this situation, how things have changed since the Hamas government took power in the Palestinian territories. If you'd like to join the conversation, our number is 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK. Email is talk@npr.org. And joining us now is Saed Saifi. He's a software engineer in Ramallah for Global Software Services. And he's been on Talk of the Nation before. Nice to have you back on the show.
Thank you, Neil. Thanks for having me.
What is life like there in Ramallah where you live?
Things are going okay right now. Ramallah is one of the major cities, and basically most of the private sector is based in Ramallah, and there are a lot of organizations other than the governmental organizations in Ramallah. But still you can feel that the streets are less crowded in the commercial areas, and you can feel that the shop owners sometimes complain about not having this frequent buyers as they used before. And that's basically, as you know, because of the salaries have not been paid for government employees or those who are working on any related government organizations for around 2 months right now.
And obviously that's a major change since Hamas took power there. Any other changes that you've seen?
There was like a lot of changes when they first took power. That was clear on the streets because of demonstrations from Fatah supporters who lost the elections, and they were like somehow violent, and they were sometimes shooting in the air, and there was some tension between Fatah and Hamas after the elections directly. and that was reflected among their supporters. And as someone who's walking in the street, you can feel that there is a lot of tension, and there are a lot of demonstrations, counter demonstrations against each other. And it was somehow dangerous at the beginning of just immediately after the elections, and right now still you can feel there is a lot of tension. And people are talking about, sometimes they're talking about possible civil wars, and we have seen some clashes between the supporters, gunfires, and people get injured in Gaza and here and there in the West Bank.
Mm-hmm.
So this is one of the, I think, bad effects after the turnaround of the elections.
Sure. Hamas is an Islamist organization, Fatah, much more a secular organization.
Yeah.
Has that been a change?
Actually, they did not take control for a long time to be able to do some changes in probably the lifestyle of the more liberal Ramallah city, for example, majorly because they're really busy with trying to find some sources to fund the government and
mm-hmm.
fund even their plans, if they have plans to change whatever is going on right now. There will definitely be a change if they will get the chance to. But right now, they're really paralyzed with this economic situation and lack of funds. So That's actually their main concerns right now. But there are some concerns, and we are expecting that there will be some changes in the lifestyle. And for example, like I know some friends of mine who works in the Ministry of Culture, where we're told to stop some programs. Basically, I'm not really sure if it is just because of the financial situation, or it's also because of the nature of that cultural event.
There were some concerns before the election that should Hamas win, they might try to force women, for example, to wear headscarves or crack down on nightlife.
Yeah, exactly. There was a lot of concerns like this, but Hamas officials made it clear so many times that they're not going to do this, and they're not going to enforce this hijab to women or do anything that people will not like. You can tell, actually, Hamas's main aim right now, and they specify this, that we are under occupation and our main goal is to get rid of the Israeli occupation, and after that then we will probably turn into another social, more comprehensive social plans. And after that, I think, I'm not really sure if they will, even if they will proceed with this, they will get the support that they got already right now.
Mm-hmm. You work for Global Software Services. How's business?
Exactly. This is a private company. We're working in the software industry, and we are we're doing some outsourcing we're actually subcontractors for PDF Solutions in San Jose, California. So the business is going fine here with us, but this is, a very small company. It's just like probably 20 employees, and probably one of two or three companies, the only two or three companies here that does work for the outside, or the international business, and that brings money and salaries from outside the Palestinian authorities.
Mm-hmm. Well, one final question. What are your hopes now for the future? Are you optimistic that this government is going to be able to make positive changes, or do you think the situation is going to get worse?
Yeah, to be honest, Neil, I think the future is really cloudy for all of us right now. Some of the people feel really it's really going to be worse, and others depend on the fact that this area is really important to everyone, and even the United States and the European will not let the situation get worse and worse and really be into a situation like, for example, what happened in Iraq. There are some people, some fears of that the situation will get really worse, and we will reach into a situation where we will have a shortage in supplies in food and medicine supplies, because there were some warning signs that we will get to it. But for me personally, I'm hoping that First of all, our government will, or Hamas government will come to, will come with a sort of a political initiative that will take a less orthodox political line, and will probably get a deal with Israel or United States on to resume this this kind of aid to the government and to the Palestinian people.
We have a caller on the line who wants to ask you a question. By the way, if you'd like to join us, 800-989-8255. This is Paula. Paula's with us from Toledo, Ohio.
Hi. My question is, it sounds like that your guests are reporting a lot of anger toward the West, and yet for 2 months, where is the money coming from their Muslim brothers? If they pledge their support, why aren't they seeing any funds? Why isn't the relief coming, and why aren't they angry at them? And I'll take my question off the air.
Okay, Paula, thanks for the call. Yes, pledges from places like Saudi Arabia and from Iran, the money has yet to arrive.
Yes, actually, it's we're not really against the West or reporting any anger against them, but it's the situation here that it's this is a democracy, and the government won the people's votes, and they're trying their best to help the people, and at the same time fulfill what they have promised in the political situation. But as for the funds, you know that they have collected the fund needed for the salaries, but there was a lot of sanctions that the United States threatened the local banks here with if they will transfer this money from outside. And everybody knows here that the money right now is with the Arab League and waiting for the sort of a way to transfer it to the Palestinian here. But the local banks will not be able to do it, and they're afraid from the sanctions that will be imposed against them from the United States and the European Commission. So this is one of the major things also that Hamas was depending on, and it turns out right now that they failed to fulfill, because they did not take into account that this serious situation will be that they will not be able to even to transfer this amount of fund, although it is even less than what we need, but still they were not able to transfer it because of the technical difficulties, as I told you, because of the bank refused to transfer the money.
Said Saifi, thanks very much for being with us, and good luck to you.
Thank you, Neil. Thank you for having me.
Syed Saifi, a software engineer who lives in Ramallah, speaking to us from his home there. Joining us now, I think we do have Omar al-Rafai with us now on the line. He's a Palestinian who lives in a village about 20 miles northwest of Ramallah in the West Bank, a civil servant in the Palestinian Interior Ministry. Are you with us, sir? And obviously, there seems to be a conspiracy to prevent Mr. Rafai from getting on the radio with us, so we'll try him again. If you'd like to join the conversation, the number is 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK. The email address is talk@npr.org. And again, we're trying to find out today what life is like for Palestinians on the West Bank and in the Gaza Strip, the Palestinian territories, after the Hamas government took power and funds from the United States and Western Europe were cut off, direct aid to the Palestinian Authority. At the same time, another major loss of revenue. Israel collects taxes on behalf of the Palestinian Authority, and they have refused to transfer those funds as well. That all based on the understanding that Hamas is a terrorist organization, and laws in many places require a cutoff of funds to terrorist organizations. Anyway, Omar al-Rafai, are you there again? We're going to try.
Yes, yes, yes.
Now, you haven't been paid in 2 months. How are you managing to pay your bills?
Well, I have two brothers. I have my mother. And instead of to give my mother some money, I'm start taking from her money again.
So you're taking money from your mother?
Yes, that's for which I don't like. You know, I'm a welcome man. I'm an employee. I have to give to support my parents, not my parents to support me.
What about other members of your family? How are they doing?
Well, the other two brothers, they are working at the private sector. One of them is a veterinarian doctor, and the other one is he works at our pharmacy. We sell veterinarian medicines. So they are working in the private sector.
And you work for the government, though. You're not getting paid. Do you still go to work every day?
Well, I go every day, but for the next month, I don't know how I'm going to go to the work.
You have to pay for gasoline, and if you go to work, you've got to, I guess, get lunch, too.
Well, at least you should have a breakfast. You have some expenses, very little expenses, but anyway, they need money for it.
We're talking today with Palestinians about what life is like under the Hamas government and with the cutoff of funds from the West. You're listening to Talk of the Nation coming to you from NPR News.
Yeah.
And let's see if we can get another caller on the line. This is Anna. Anna's calling us from Salt Lake City in Utah.
Hi.
Hi, Anna.
You know, I'm really concerned about the children in this situation because even though we get a very distorted perspective here about the actual suffering that the Palestinians are going through,
mm-hmm.
it's my understanding that at least three times as many children have died in the conflict that are Palestinian versus Israeli, and there are tens of thousands that are suffering with permanent injuries inflicted by the IDF. And how does a Palestinian parent meet the physical, you know, and psychological needs of their children? How do you do it? And I fail to see the constructive outcome in punishing the Palestinian people
mm-hmm.
and creating more suffering and pain.
Well, let's ask the question to Omar al-Rafai. What about the kids? What are they doing in this situation?
Well, I will give you an example, a real example. In my village, there is an old woman, about 62 years old. Her kidney is out of function. She needs to go to the hospital three times a week, you know, to clean the blood, or what is it in English, this word, you know, to use that machine.
Dialysis, yes.
Her kidneys.
Yes.
What she told me today, that next week or after 10 days, there will be no medicine to use at the public sector in Ramallah Hospital. So the lack of medicines and the shortage of medicine for such a chronic disease like this, you know, kidney out of function, that means a few days she will die. Now, kids can eat anything, you know,
yes.
somehow. But a patient, a real patient who has a cancer or kidney out of function or heart diseases, how they could manage? Let me ask all the world, how they could manage? The Palestinian people have chosen Hamas as a democracy and the democracy election. They didn't come to the authority by a bomb or tanks or weapons. It came by, you know, by elections, normal elections. All the world admits that. So, if the United States, they don't want to help the Palestinian people, it's their own business. But why to prevent the assistance from the Arabic country? The money is there. They collect some money, Hamas, from Arabic country.
Mm-hmm.
They can't translate it to the West Bank. Why? If you don't want to help someone, it's okay. It's your business. But to prevent this assistance, why?
As you look around, how long do you think this situation can last?
Well, as I see, it's going to last for a long time until Hamas gives another political situation. If they change their political situation, there will be changing in the economical one. But if we have to discuss Hamas to change its political situation, let's ask the Israeli side the same thing. Did they have the encouragement to make a real steps for peace, for example, to implement the United Nations resolutions, for example, to pull out from the West Bank? That's a real steps. Today I was watching the TV. Yehud Olmert at the Knesset, he's going to make a new port for Israel. He's going to collect the big small settlements with the big one, to collect them in big ones. Is this a peaceful way or an aggressive politics? Let me ask all the people. Okay, if the Palestinian people see real steps in peace in the West Bank and Gaza Strip, I'm sure Hamas will have a change in its political situation because the population will force them. But if the Hamas will not give, if Israel doesn't give any real steps for peace, no one can ask Hamas to change its situation. Maybe I'm right, maybe I'm wrong, I don't know. As I'm seeing them from the people, they say from 1993 until Oslo, from Oslo agreements until now, we are in 2006 now.
Mm-hmm.
No real steps for peace. people are pouring or they don't believe.
Israelis might say some of the same things, but in any case, Omar al-Rafai, thank you very much for being with us today. Good luck to you.
Thanks very much.
Omar al-Rafai spoke to us from his home in the West Bank. He lives about 20 miles from Ramallah, where he tries to commute every day to go to work in the government bureaucracy there. We'll have more after a short break. Again, if you'd like to join us to ask Palestinians about what their daily lives are like under these conditions, our number is 800-989-8255. Email talk@npr.org. I'm Neil Conan, back after the break, and this is NPR News. Life in the Palestinian territories. We're talking with Palestinians today about their lives and about their hopes for the future. Joining us now is Tala Karkar. She attends Bethlehem University, where she's getting ready to graduate next month. Nice to talk with you. Congratulations on your graduation.
Yeah, thank you.
What are you?
I will be graduating next month.
And what are you studying?
I'm studying English with education.
So you hope to become a teacher?
Yeah. I wish so.
And have you had any luck applying for teaching jobs?
Yes, of course. I had, but I don't know when I will be accepted or when I will have the opportunity to teach, because we don't have any much opportunities, job opportunities.
And right now, as I understand it, a lot of teachers are not being paid.
Yeah, I know, but it seems like I won't have the opportunity, because as I applied, I saw many teachers. They don't want to resign, or they want their job. They are grasping it so much.
Mm-hmm. So as you look ahead to your life, you're just graduating from university there. What do you see for yourself?
For me, I think that I will be graduating, okay, and I'm satisfied with my study, with what I have studied, and with the university I will be graduating from. But the thing is that if I don't have any job opportunity, I will be applying for a master's degree. I think so.
I see. At Bethlehem University, you can. I don't know what the tuition is. How much do you have to pay to go there?
To pay?
Yes, to attend university. Is it free?
Yeah. I don't know precisely, but I can tell you $600.
$600?
Wait a minute. $900 each semester. But for me, I pay more than that, because if you want to live, because I'm from Ramallah, as you said before, and I'm living in Bethlehem. This means that I'm living and I'm paying for my living here.
Mm-hmm. What about the other students there at Bethlehem University? Do they see a future for themselves?
You know what? We all are ambitious people who look for our future. That's why we are applying for jobs. We are finishing education. But the thing is that right now, after Hamas took the elections, mm-hmm. Something depressed us, because there's no more funding in cooperation with the authority, and this means that there will be no new investment institutions that were before. That's why.
In institutions like Bethlehem University?
What?
Yeah, you say there will be no more funding for institutions. You mean like Bethlehem University?
No, I mean business, schools, things that are in our domain.
Yes. In terms of everyday ordinary life, is it different in Bethlehem, where you are now, than it is in Ramallah, where your parents live?
Yes, of course, because here, even though we are Palestinian, but we have different, I'm living here in different culture. There's a big difference.
And can you describe it for us?
You know what? Now, because after the occupation, Ramallah became the capital, like the capital of Palestine, not Jerusalem. I can't generalize this, but at least a lot of people come and work in Ramallah.
Mm-hmm.
But in Bethlehem, now the situation is getting much worse. where this where it is becoming very close, very limited. People can't go. This situation, this close situation, close culture makes the differences.
Mm-hmm. And students being students, I assume that they from time to time try to have a little fun, some entertainment. Is that kind of life still going on at Bethlehem University?
Well, we always work on projects of going to trips. But I can give you an example. Before the Easter, we wanted to go to Israel part, mm-hmm. and we were forbidden to go there. We wanted to go to visit churches in Siberia, in Nazareth, all these cities. We couldn't because we couldn't have the permission, and so the trip was canceled.
Tala Karkar, thank you again for being with us today, and we wish you the best of luck. Again, congratulations on your graduation.
Thanks a lot.
Tala Karkar spoke with us from Bethlehem in the West Bank, Palestinians talking about their lives and their hopes for the future. When we come back, why do Europeans smoke more than Americans? We'll be back.